Hey there, I'm your host Alexis Newland and you're listening to The Brave Podcast. I am so happy you're tuning in today. Each week, a friend and I get together and talk about what makes them brave. So sit back, relax, grab your favorite cup of coffee or tea, and get ready for some engaging conversation. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of The Brave Podcast. So happy to have you join us again this week. Hope you guys are all doing well in the midst of the COVID-19 and hanging in there. And I'm hoping by the time this recording comes out, it's May right now, it'll be out in June. And so I'm hoping in June that things will be opened up a little bit so we can enjoy our summers and being outdoors. Although people are pretty much outdoors a lot right now. I don't know about you guys, but my neighborhood, people are out. They're biking, they're running, they're walking their dogs. And it's so cool to see. And I kind of think before the whole COVID-19 time, I didn't see that as much. But now, like, one of the biggest gifts that have come out of this is just being able to see my neighbors and seeing them out and enjoying the outdoors, and we're not all glued to our phones because we're all just tired of being cooped up. So it's been nice to see people out, and I see neighbors now that I recognize on my bike ride as I wave to them and as I'm taking walks. And so it's really nice to see and meet neighbors that I didn't know before because I was too busy running to and from work or to and from other activities. So that has kind of been a blessing in this whole COVID-19 time. Did I say what episode we're on? We're on episode 25, which is crazy, which means next week will be the halfway mark, which is, wow, I cannot believe there are 25 of these and next week will be 26. So thank you guys for tuning in. If either this is the first time you're listening or you've been listening the whole way through, I am so glad for your support. I couldn't do this without you guys, and I appreciate you guys so much. Now, on to our guest. Marnie was on last week. She wrote a book called Flourish with Purpose. And no, that's not her book title. Sorry. Flourish. Sorry. Her book is Flourish, Flourishing in a World Full of People. And we're talking about different topics. This week, we're kind of looking at our perspective and how that can kind of alter the way we perceive things. It's a great talk, and I absolutely love sitting down with Marnie. Marnie is like sitting down with your mom and having a heart-to-heart. I absolutely enjoyed my time, and I think you guys will as well. So without further ado, here is my podcast interview with Marnie Spinsla. Hello, everyone. This is The Brave Podcast, and Marnie is back with us for a second week, and she's going to share a little bit from her book with you guys. So she's going to read a little excerpt. So, Marnie, take it away.
All right. So my book is called Flourish in a World Full of People, and it's all about getting along and in relationships. And so this chapter that we're talking about a little bit today is Fix Your Life Lenses If They're Foggy. And it goes, how's your vision? Your perspective isn't the only way to interpret what happened to you. Ask your siblings if you have them, or other family members or close friends about an event you remember clearly from your childhood. Chances are they will remember the same event in a totally different way. I once listened to my mom and her sisters describe an event from their childhood. They disagreed about what happened because they each had a different story based on their feelings at the time. I don't know what they were discussing, but each person was sure that their memory was the correct one. Who was right? Doesn't matter. What does matter is our own understanding of how the past affects us now. Okay. Oh, I'm going to read one more bit. The way we interpret things can create expectations that alter our relationships. Maybe you're not satisfied with the way you react to others or how they react to you. This chapter will show you why you might want to adopt a new view of your circumstances, both past and current.
That is very good. Perspective. It can alter everything if it is.
So true if it's left unchecked.
Yes. Yes, it really can. Because it's so funny how people perceive things so differently. And like you think something has happened one way. And then you talk to someone else about it who was there. And like, that's not at all what I saw. And it's just amazing how we just interpret things and how like our life experiences can change our perspective greatly.
So true. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So how have you seen a skewed perspective kind of alter relationships and make relationships difficult?
Okay, so in my marriage, we were, as I mentioned last time, we were very different. I've come to the conclusion, by the way, this past week, as I've thought about talking to you and about looking at pictures of us together, he was the love of my life. So I grumble and complain about what he was like, but he truly was the love of my life, and I miss him a lot. He died 5 years ago, and I still miss him, but we didn't agree on very much. So his perspective on almost everything was different, and he would come into a room, and all he would see was the mess, and I would be looking at, I made a really nice dinner, and the kids are playing nicely. I didn't get to the house, not a big deal.
Yeah.
So, but him, it was a big deal. Right. So it's just a case of seeing things. We both had to learn to see things differently. Another thing was he worked in the garden a lot. He loved working in the garden. But to me, that felt like he should be in here with me. He should be wanting to do stuff with me. And I'd say, let's go for a walk. Oh, no, I've already had my run. And now I'm going to go out and work in the garden. My perspective was that he didn't want to spend time with me. His perspective was that the garden requires so much work, and he could see a picture of what it was going to look like. And my request was a distraction for him. And so we both had to kind of step back in our later years. He would say, it's amazing that we finally let each other be. Isn't it amazing that we finally let each other be? And it's true. And I wish we'd both learned how to do that sooner. But it happens in all kinds of relationships. You know, you walk into a store and you talk to the clerk, and the clerk is rude, in your opinion, rude. And then you go home and you say, I'm never shopping there again. She was so rude. That's a terrible store. Don't shop there. You don't know what was going on in her life. Exactly. Maybe her kids are causing so much problems. She just hung up and they've just been having a fight. She should be home, but she has to be at work. Like, we have no idea what's going on in another person's life. And we judge the outside, and all they can see is the inside. So you're looking at my outside and you think, oh, she looks pretty confident. She's feisty, outgoing. She does whatever she does. I'm looking at the inside and thinking, man, I'm such a loser.
Yes.
This is too hard.
Yes.
I'm so tired of being a failure, or whatever we're thinking, right? So the perspective needs to be adjusted on both sides.
Really,
we need to be gentle with each other, back off, and let everybody just be who they are. And at the same time, I need to take a look at my own beliefs and my own perspectives on things. Why am I reacting to that?
Mm-hmm.
What is what he said that makes me so angry? I need to back up a little bit and take a look at what's he thinking? What's the other side of this story? Right?
Right. Because we're very, selfish people. We're self-centered. We kind of are, we're the center of our world. And so we have to consider daily that there are other people around us, and they're existing with us, and they're going to collide. Like, we're all different. God made us all differently. We all have different ways of thinking, of interacting. So things are going to be different, and things are going to collide, and there's going to be conflict.
It's so true.
Yeah.
It's so true. My mom has a funny story from when she was young. Her dad worked for Burns & Company, which was a meat company in Saskatchewan. And they bought cows, butchered them, and sold the meat. So when they had a barbecue, or when she was cooking a roast, he was the one who did it because he was the one who understood meat. So that's the way my mom was brought up. She marries my dad, and she says to my dad, will you check the roast to see if it's done? And he said, well, I'll look at it, but I have no idea what I'm looking at. And she was kind of surprised because she had this impression that men cooked meat. But my dad had no idea. Now, she could have been mad at him. She could have, not tried to understand. Fortunately, she stepped back and it wasn't a big deal. I mean, lots of times it's a much bigger deal than that, but she was able to step back and laugh at it and say, oh yeah, right. Huh. So he wasn't brought up cooking meat. Now, maybe it happened a bunch of times before she figured it out. I don't know, but she used to tell me that story and laugh.
So I kind of wonder what this ties into our perspective of our expectations, how our expectations can really kind of guide our perspective in a way, especially if they're not met expectations.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you go into marriage or into a friendship or into work and you have certain expectations.
Mm-hmm.
People will treat me in a certain way. They're going to be polite, or they're going to be kind, or they will accept me because I've always made friends. I have no trouble making friends. And you walk into this new place and somebody doesn't. So your expectation now clashes with what you're actually experiencing. And you always have to make the choice. All right, this is me. This is about me. This has nothing to do with the other person. And how they act toward me is not their problem. It's my problem. So how am I going to rethink my expectations that this person is grouchy every time I walk near? It has nothing to do with me. And if it does, it's I don't need to take it inside. So she's mad at me. There's something about me that touches her the wrong way. I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. My life is in my hands, my control. So how am I going to deal with it? So there are several choices. I can kind of ignore her reaction and smile anyway. Hi, good morning. Nice to see you. Walk past. Let her be grouchy because it doesn't matter. It doesn't affect your life. Doesn't need to affect your life. You could also change something. You could walk in a different way, or you could find out, maybe talk to her. What's going on? Like, you act like you don't like me and you don't even know me. What's going on? Is there anything that I could do to change? Maybe you can fix it. Maybe you can't. But then you get to just still walk away. And the third is to escape. Just, this work is not working for me. This is the boss. She's always critical of me. She tells me that I'm stupid or whatever she does. She gives me work that I can't do or that I think I can't do. Now I have a choice. Am I going to change? Ignore this.
Yeah.
Well, it's my boss, so I can't ignore. Am I going to change something? Maybe step up my game a little bit, work a little harder, do more than I think I should have to, more than the person to me even, to meet her expectations, or escape, go get a different job. And those choices are always in our hands, always.
Yes, they are.
We don't need to stay and be mad at somebody.
And because feeling angry and just feeling, carrying around that hurt, it is a burden. It is a weight. Like, it doesn't feel good. It just, it changes your whole perspective on things.
Well, on life in general.
It really does. I just
the worst thing. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the worst thing is when it happened 20 years ago and I'm still carrying that.
Yes.
You know,
definitely.
And now it's something else. Now it's become a poison inside me.
Yes. I just saw A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. Have you, with Tom Hanks?
No, I didn't see it. Is it good?
It is very good. And it is completely different than what you expect. Like, you walk into it thinking it's about Mr. Rogers, and it is. But it's a lot about forgiveness. And it's about this guy who, you can tell, he had a hard childhood, a hard time with his dad. And it changed, it clouded his whole perspective. He's kind of very negative. He kind of goes after people. And you can see, like, the root of all of that was just this unforgiveness he held from his dad, from his childhood.
Right.
And how it kind of changed his whole outlook on life. Like, everything was negative. Everything was just not good. He was looking for the bad in everything. And so it, like, showed me. I was like, wow, it's like just one little thing. Like, I mean, it wasn't a little thing. Like, he had a dad that was abusive, but he had a hard, he couldn't forgive him. And just seeing how that unforgiveness had poisoned his life and changed his perspective. And it's cute. In the movie, Mr. Rogers kind of helps him work out with things with his dad and forgive him. So that was it was beautiful in that sense. But it was just so amazing to see, like, the power of forgiveness, like, changing this man's perspective from one that was dark and negative and to one that was, like, wanted, like, reconciliation with his dad and wanted a better life and wanted to be a good father himself. So it was just amazing how much, just, like, if you let something negative control your life, it can ruin, it can darken everything.
Absolutely. And every relationship.
Yeah.
It doesn't just wreck that relationship. It wrecks all the ones from then on, right? Because he expects people to act like his dad did.
Yes.
Right? And then so often they do. Or at least part of it, but it reminds you of that, and so you react negatively. Instead of, you know, and I think the key then, in his situation, in every situation, is sit down and think it out. Okay, and what I recommend in my book is write down all the negative stuff. like, this person makes me really angry. He does this and he does that and it makes me angry and I feel stupid and whatever I feel. I feel like a failure, whatever the things are that I feel. Mm-hmm. Write it all down and then look at it and think, is any of that true? I talked about Byron Katie last week.
Yeah.
And that's the word, right? Is any of this true? Well, I'm not stupid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a failure. You know, not everybody treats me this way. It's just this person. All right, so then now take a look at it again. What could be happening? What could be happening with this person? What are some of the options? Well, I have no way of knowing unless I talk to him. But maybe, well, in this case, who knows how his dad treated him? The grandfather treated his mother.
Yeah.
You know, who knows where it comes from? And so now it's being passed down. And if he's not careful, he's going to pass it to his kids.
Yes.
And it goes through the generations, right? It's way more than just, I need to forgive this person for my sake. No, I'm forgiving this person for everybody that I touch from now on.
That is so powerful.
And it's not because they deserve it. I don't have to forgive this person because he deserves it. That's not the key at all. The key is, how do I want to live my life?
Mm-hmm.
And what am I doing for the world? If my negative attitude is spoiling my life, you can be sure it's spoiling everybody else's around me.
Yes.
Is that what kind of a legacy I want to leave? Uh-uh. No. I want to deal with it now and see, okay, there's another perspective here. The perspective, I don't know it. Maybe the dad has died, or maybe he doesn't want to talk about it, or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to let it go anyway and say, you know what? He had his life to live. And he lived it his way. Now it's my turn. And I'm going to live it my way. And my way is going to be to bless people around me.
Exactly.
And the only way I can do that is to say, you know what? I forgive him. I forgive him for not being perfect. I forgive him for being somebody that hurt me. And I forgive myself for holding all that hurt for all those years. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to move on. I want to be changed from the inside.
Yes. And there's freedom in that, because once you forgive someone, like, it just, it's not for them, it's for you, because you're just...
Exactly.
When you're holding anything negative against a person, it affects you, like, it affects how you interact with them when you see them, it affects your, like, outlook on them, like, just everything, and then you just start harboring, like, bitterness and... resentment.
Yep.
And all these ugly feelings that are not meant for us to feel. And it's
nope.
Poison. It is literally poison. And yeah, so when you forgive, you release that person and you just released all the ugly stuff that's been like sitting inside of you for
yes.
so long.
And it releases you to find out what God wants for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as you're holding on to that dark stuff, you're not free. You can't be successful. You can't have good relationships. You probably have an iffy kind of a marriage if you're still in the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the marriages break up. You can have conflict with your teenagers, little kids maybe too, but more often teenagers. And all of it can come from the thing that happened in the past.
Yeah.
And so when I can let go of that, then I can start being the blessing, being the encouragement, being the light, salt and light. Remember,
mm-hmm.
the New Testament says, be salt and light. I cannot be salt and light for other people if I'm not willing to let go of all that yucky stuff and start being salt and light in my own heart.
Yes.
The light starts here, shines out on other people. And if other people around me are avoiding me or in conflict with me all the time, or I am on my second, third, fourth, fifth marriage or relationship, or I can't keep a job, or my teenagers are always mad at me, there's something going on in my life
yes.
that I need to take a look at.
And it's kind of hard to realize, oh, the problem is with me, because some people, I mean, I knew this for myself, you start to blame others, you're like, oh, it's not me, you point the finger at another person, but then if you start seeing a pattern, you're like, what is it in me that this keeps happening? Or people
exactly.
are reacting that way. Like, what is it?
Yes. And why am I reacting?
Yeah.
What's the thing that makes me react? So that's why I write all that stuff down. oh boy, so this looks like my dad, or this looks like the way my brother used to treat me, or my friend, or my first husband, or whatever, and I'm reacting to the same thing. Different person, same reaction. Okay, this is me. This is something going on in me.
Yeah. And then I found, like, when you recognize what that is, it's like, I always try to grab a friend and tell them, like, a friend who I can trust, who I can be, who's accountable. And be like, hey, is this what's going on in me? I need your help to help me keep me accountable. I go to God.
Yep.
And all of that
gets worked
out. Yeah, because if not, like, just, like, people, some people don't look at counseling as always a great thing, but it is so helpful to be able to, like, be able to bounce off what you're discovering off someone else so they can kind of guide you and help you.
Exactly. My only advice there is be careful who you choose to bounce stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get bounced back with pity, oh, that's terrible. I'm sorry. Oh, he shouldn't have said that to you. That's so awful. Don't use that person because that doesn't help you.
No.
What you need is somebody who will help you see a different perspective, help you look at the whole thing through different eyes. If the person feels sorry for you and encourages your self-pity, not helpful.
No, because it keeps you stuck and it keeps you in as a victim.
And it creates an issue between that person and the person who hurt you.
Yeah.
So especially when it's a spouse or a child, I don't want to share my issues with somebody who will not like my husband or not like my kid, you know, or build up that, oh man, I remember I don't like that person because he was mean to my friend or whatever. I remember when I was at the school, running my school, there were times when I had to be careful what I told Tom.
Okay.
Because if I told Tom about this person did this or that, Tom didn't know the person and he would build up this hate. I mean, hate's a bit strong, but he would build up feelings toward that person based on what I said. So now I'm not spreading blessings everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm spreading resentment in other people that didn't even experience it necessarily,
exactly.
But he loved me. Right. And so he was reacting in self, in pity for me.
Yeah.
It's an important topic that I don't think gets talked about enough and is most likely not taught in school.
No.
It's really and so unless you had a parent or a friend who got it, or you go to a counselor, as you say, who gets this stuff, it's really hard to get past those feelings. And you can get the sense that everybody else has it good but me.
Yeah.
You know, I can't get past this, and I just feel so angry. And sometimes I don't even know why I'm angry. I don't know what's going on in my life. That's when you need somebody that you can sit down, as you said, talk to and share with. And then you can be accountable for them too, right? You can help them to see. So I have a friend that I walk with, and we walk once a week. And we always talk about stuff that's deep, spiritual, encouraging.
Yeah.
So I know a lot of stuff about her, and she knows a lot of stuff about me, and neither of us ever shares it anywhere else because that's part of our walk is to, you know, support each other and encourage and share the personal stuff, knowing it's not going any further.
And that's so good to have, just to have that friend that you know that whatever you said with them stays with them, and just to also just have that support and that feedback too is so helpful in friendship today.
It is so helpful. Yeah. Sometimes they're hard to find.
Some of them really are. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would say that that's a good place to go to God for prayer. So Lord, I need a friend. Mm-hmm. I need somebody. I mean, of all the prayers that God will, we feel he won't answer or will answer or whatever, that's one he will.
Yes.
Because he wants us in relationship. He wants us to be in relationship with him first.
Mm-hmm.
And with others second. And once we're in relationship with him, he'll point out that stuff in a gentle, sweet way so that then he'll point out, you were kind of mean to so-and-so today. Oh, I was. Gee, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me to put that right. And what do they call it? Keeping a short record. Keeping a short, you know. I forget what the term is, but short, set it right away. Move on. Don't hold it. Don't feel bad about it yourself. Just ask for forgiveness, move on.
Yeah. And it's so good that God does that, and that God knows us in that way, and that, like, having that relationship with him, like, he'll tell me, he's like, you're a little cranky, because I'm an introvert, and so after a while, I need time by myself to recharge, and sometimes I will push the limits and just, like, do all the things, and God's like, you're a little cranky, you need to go with your Bible and get away from people.
Yeah,
and then I do it, I'm like, oh, I feel so much better. And he's like, yeah,
better.
You need time away from people, and it's okay. And I'm like,
it's okay.
Yeah.
It's more than okay, it's necessary. And even if you're an extrovert, you have to have those times away. I'm more of an extrovert.
Yeah.
I like talking to people, and I get charged by being with people. But I spent the whole weekend here in my apartment by myself, happily. By myself. I did struggle a little bit with guilt because I decided I'm not going to get dressed and I'm not going to do anything that I have to do. If I'll make my meals, not doing laundry, I'm not doing making phone calls, I'm not phoning to encourage anybody, just me and my book. I almost finished my book and then I finished it last night. But I got up this morning full of energy,
full,
ready to go. You know, got up and showered, did 3 loads of laundry, went for a bike ride with my daughter, like all kinds of stuff. Made this connection with a friend who's going to start working with me, like all kinds of stuff all fell into place. But it's because I took some time to myself.
And
just myself.
It's so important. Like, I'm learning that too. Like, even with just doing this, like, the Lord is like, put some time aside for me. It helps ground you. It helps center you. And like, I try to make one day my introvert day. So I'm like, There is one day where I'm not at work, usually it's a Saturday, where I'm like, I'm not going to hang out with anyone. I'm going to get things done. I'm going to spend time with the Lord. And it just helps replenish and refresh me. And for a while, I felt guilty about that. Like, I was like, this is selfish. My friends want to talk to me. Like, I'm not being a good friend. But I don't know if you've ever done this, I would do a lot of things out of, like, obligation or guilt about.
Yes.
It's
such a terrible thing.
It's a terrible thing. Because then you end up resenting either that person or the situation. You're like, I don't want to be here. I want to be doing this thing.
Yeah.
And you're doing this. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's not just that you want to. It's that you need to.
Yeah.
You know, if you look at the needs, the human needs, certainly we need interaction. We need relationships.
Mm-hmm.
But we also need time. Just time. And I think it's hardest. Well, I know it's hardest for people who are raising kids. For, you know, you're at home all day. You got all these kids or one kid, a baby, whatever. And there's no downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the ones that I think need God's grace the most.
Yeah.
And if we know people, if you have friends or you are related to somebody who's struggling with that kind of stuff, they're the ones who need our prayers the most.
Oh, yeah. Like, I couldn't even imagine. Like, I'm not in that period of life yet, but I'm like, I give my friends who are moms major props, because that is me being introverted, I could not imagine, and I know when that day comes, I'll handle it fine, but I couldn't imagine, not having downtime, because you have this little baby who is demanding all of your attention. I just hit my microphone. It's all demanding all of your attention, and I've had my friends who are parents tell me, like, there's times where they just want to be by themselves. They just need to get out of the house. And feeling a little guilty about that, but once they, like, just had someone come and watch the kids, or just they got away for a little bit, how much better they felt.
Absolutely, and they're a better mom.
Yeah.
I get a call from my daughter once in a while who's out in the car. And she's happily driving because she's by herself and she's left her kids at home, either put them to bed and left them with daddy or whatever. Daddy will sometimes take the little ones and go for a walk or whatever. And she just is in heaven and doesn't want to waste a moment of it. And it's such a gift. But that's the thing. You make it work. You find ways. You put your kids to bed and then climb into bed with your own, with a book or you, whatever. Go for a drive for a bit or go for a walk by yourself. Those kind of things are essential when you're raising kids.
Yeah.
And it's bits of time. See, I could have a whole day because I'm retired and I have nobody else living here. But moms have to find it in bits of time during the day.
Yeah, I can't. Oh, when that time does come for me, I'm like, oh, that's going to be a big practice. I'm learning now. The Lord is talking to me. He's like, enjoy this time now because it's not always going to be like this.
Right.
He's like, this time, you grab it, because there's going to be times, like when I'm on my women's Bible study groups, they're like, I have like 5 minutes and then my kids wake up and they're trying to like just put a little bit of input into like the question and answer box. I'm like, I couldn't imagine, because I'm like, I get up at like 6, sometimes 5:30, and I have the whole morning before work, and I just can imagine that being taken away.
Yeah. The upside is being the mom.
Yeah.
I mean, relationship is like no other. It's hard to imagine when they're newborns, but boy, oh boy, it's fun. It's fun when I've got adult kids, and they're my best friends. I love it. It's worth all the effort that I put into them. They're wonderful.
Yeah, it's definitely like the good totally outweighs the, I guess, inconveniences that could come with it.
So true. And, the other thing that I've noticed about life is that when you start looking ahead to something that's going to be amazing, oh, I need to move out of this place because it's going to be so much better, or I need to get a different job, it's going to be, or I need to be grown up, or I need to be married, or I need to, whatever is out mm-hmm. in the future, when you get to that place, there's good and there's bad.
Yes.
No matter what situation it is. You know, I just desperately want to be married. I can hardly wait, and it's going to be so great, and it's going to be a honeymoon that's going to be blah, blah, blah. You're going to have the whole picture in your mind. When you get there, yeah, it's awesome. It's wonderful, and it's also stinking hard sometimes.
Yeah, that is what I've heard from my friends. They say it is work.
It's work.
Work. It's a daily choice to choose to love that person, even when they have made you really angry.
Well, that's it. And I'm sure it's the same in your job.
Yeah.
There are times, I mean, you're in a job that you obviously love and that is good for you. But I'll bet there are times when you think, dang, I wish I didn't have to go today. Mm-hmm. I wish I didn't do this. This is too hard, or this person really bugs me, or like there's a downside to everything.
Yeah.
And a side. And yeah. It's all about your thinking. It's all about your attitude. My mom used to say, and you got to change your attitude. And that used to irritate me. But it's true. You know, it's all about my attitude. How am I going to manage this? With gratitude, with forgiveness, with no guilt, let go of the guilt, apologize if I need to, relax if I need to, take time for myself if I need to, like look after all that stuff, and guilt is not from the Lord, so ditch that right away.
No. Guilt is definitely from the enemy, and that's how God has kind of like taught me, because when I've made a mistake, and I tend to like have a hard time letting things go when I've messed up, I do not like to make mistakes. And the Lord is like, that's not me. Like, we talk about it. I let you know you did something wrong. You're forgiven. And it's done. If it keeps coming back, that is not me.
That is me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it can really, like, mess with you. Like, guilt can really, really, like, hold you back from what God wants and make you think you're being condemned by the Lord. And you're really not.
Not at all. Yeah. Never. It never feels like condemnation or guilt when it comes from God. Mm-hmm. It feels like a gentle little, oh, right, I shouldn't have done that. Sorry, Lord. And you know you're forgiven right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if it's coming from the devil, you feel it. Like, you feel heavy, you feel guilty, you feel shame, you feel dirty. You just feel all these different feelings that God never would ever treat you in that way.
That's right, exactly right, yes. Yes, it's encouraging to know that God loves me so much that he would never treat me that way.
Yeah.
So I think we might have talked about this a bit last week. I need to treat myself the way not just the way God treats me, but the way I want other people to treat me.
Mm-hmm.
Why do I treat myself? I remember this conversation last week, but I think it's worth repeating because we often beat ourselves up over something, over the mistakes that we've made that have been pointed out by God. You made that mistake. Yes, I did. And now I'm going to spend the rest of my life feeling badly about it? No.
Mm-mm.
No, not even the rest of the day. And if it comes back in, as you say, it's not from God, so just whoosh, let it on go.
Yeah.
Right on by. It's nothing to do with you now. You're forgiven.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
So I wanted to wrap up one more thing with you. Saying no, because it kind of ties in with having guilt, but saying no, like that's something that I've struggled with. I know if my friends have struggled with. So what kind of guidance do you have in, like, saying no and that it's okay to say no sometimes?
Mm-hmm. So I get messages from my daughters quite often saying, how do I say no to this? I don't want to do it, but how do I say no? My honest answer is always just say it. Just practice it. Just say it. No, I don't want to. I remember Tom, my husband, used to say, somebody at in the staff room, he was a teacher, and in the staff room, somebody would say, Tom, would you coach the basketball team? And he would just say, no. Oh, why not? I don't want to. And they would be kind of taken aback, like, oh my gosh, he's kind of, that's a bit rude. And I would feel, how could he do that? How could he?
Like, I'm thinking that too in my head right now.
Yeah, how does he do that?
Yeah.
Because I am trying so hard to keep the people around me happy that I forget that that's not my job. It's not my job to keep the people around me happy. That's their job. It's your job to keep you happy. It's my job to keep me happy. And happy is maybe the wrong word, but I will use it for now because people kind of understand that. It's my job to find out what's the right thing for me to be doing and let other people figure out for them. So in my book, I describe a mom who's driving extra kids to school and serving on the PAC and the parent council and, you know, delivering food to families that are in need and working full time and feeling resentful because nobody else picks up the slack. And I feel like often when that's the case, nobody's picking up the slack because you're doing it. Step back and say, no, I am not going to serve on the PAC this year. I've had my turn. It's somebody else's turn. Well, you know, the PAC's going to fall apart. Well, yeah, maybe. But it's not my job. I don't feel that it's the right thing for me to do. And then that opens the door for somebody else to take over. But it also gives you the courage to say no the next time. Because people are fine. They'll figure it out. Will you babysit my kids? Let me think about it. That's another good answer. Let me think about it. And then you think about it and think, oh, no. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. I just don't want to. And so then I say, no, I don't want to this time. And I have to battle the, oh boy, I hope she doesn't hate me. Now I'm talking about my daughters, but it could be anybody. It could be a neighbor, it could be anybody. You're allowed to say no. And if you don't say no and you're going to resent it, then you're in the wrong place. Say yes if it gives you joy to say yes. And the other thing is, if you really don't mind babysitting, but not today, you could say that. You know, I'd love to babysit for you another time, but really today I can't. Or I need more notice than this. Can you give me a few days notice? Like, there are all kinds of ways of softening the blow. I love your kids. It's so much fun to be with them. But no, I don't want to babysit. I have to say that to my daughters sometimes and say, you know, I enjoy being with your kids, but sometimes it's tiresome to be there with them by myself. So no, I don't want to. Sometimes I say yes. I had them today for an hour. It was fun. It was yesterday. It was fun. They fought the whole time and I got impatient with them and decided an hour is plenty. And it's hard to say no,
but it
gets easier. It gets easier. You got to practice. It's like learning to play the piano. As my mother used to say, everything's like learning to play the piano. You can learn to do anything. You can learn to sing in harmonies. Like you told me, you're working on singing in harmony.
Yeah.
And you learn that. Everybody can learn that. If they want to, they can learn anything. And anything you want to learn. If you don't want to learn it, it's hard. But if you want to learn it, then you can. And I can learn to say no. And you can learn to sing harmony. And I could learn to play the flute if I wanted to.
Yeah.
I actually want to. But I believe, here's my other little sideways note. Connected to that, I believe that my desires are things that are gifts or planted there by God. If I have a desire to sing or paint or run or play basketball or anything, if I have a desire to do this, then I believe in most cases it's planted there by God. Because the Bible says, I will give you the desires of your heart. And I believe that means he puts them in your heart and then he helps it make it happen. Now, it might take years.
Yeah.
It might take time. You know, I've wanted to be an author and a motivational speaker for, I don't know, years and years, decades probably, maybe even since I was a child. But I had a lot of stuff to learn before I could be at this place where now I love speaking. I love being in front of a group of people. And this book, honestly, this book that I wrote is, it's a gift from God as much as it is a lot of work on my part.
And it's helping a lot of people.
Yeah, that's my hope. And I feel like it's just beginning to launch, even though it's been out since last June. It's just beginning to launch. And as it gets out there, I think I'm going to see it's not my wisdom. Like I've never had an original thought. All my thoughts have come from stuff I've read or directly from God.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not original. It's not different. Nobody reading it would say, "Oh, this is new." No, you'll look at it and you think, "Oh, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, that's a good reminder." You know? It's not original thought. It's just maybe original the way it's put together because it's me.
Yeah, but it's a lot of good reminders to remind you, "Oh, yeah, that's right. And this, I need to do this too." So it's like a really helpful.
I think it's got wisdom, but it's not my wisdom. It's God's.
I love that.
And my life experiences and how it all comes together.
And that helps to read someone else's life experiences and kind of like compare them to your own to see, oh, they've been through this and this is how they did it and I could do it.
I can do it. If she can do it, I can do it.
Yeah. And there's so much freedom in that. You're like, okay, I can get through this hard thing. I can get through a death of a husband or I can get through being a mom. Like if you read all these experiences, you can see that you can do it.
Right. And you're not too old or too young. Or too big, or too small, or too anything. You're not. If you want to do it, go do it.
Yeah.
I once talked to a lady a few years ago. I used to run success teams many years ago. And one of the ladies who came to one of my teams said, "I've always wanted to sing in a choir." And I said, "Why don't you?" She was probably in her 70s. I said, "Why don't you?" And she said, "Oh, I can't sing." I said, "How do you know that?" "Oh, well, they wouldn't have me. I'm not a good singer. I'm sure they wouldn't have me." I said, where would you like to sing?" "I'd love to sing in the church choir." I said, "Why don't you go ask them? My guess is they would love to have you. Go ask them. Be brave. Put yourself out there and ask them." So she messaged me about, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later, a month later, whatever, and said, "You'll never guess." I went to the choir director and she said she'd love to have me. They were looking for more members. And she sang with them, I don't know, maybe 10 years until she died. And she was happy. It was so fulfilling for her. You're never too late. If you want to do something, go do it. Make it happen. That's a topic of another conversation, but it's also in my book.
Yeah, I love that. If you want to do something, just do it.
Just go do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's certain things that you get too old to do. I'm not going skating anymore. Figure skating. Like, figure skate, not going to do that anymore. Not a big fan of skiing anymore, but I don't actually want to anymore.
Yeah.
You know, most of the stuff I want to do is stuff that I still can do. I just need to do it.
Yeah.
Hey guys, thanks so much for tuning into this week's episode. My takeaway from this episode was you can do it. You're not too old, too young, too big, or too small. If you want to do it, just do it. At the time of this recording, I am still in quarantine. And so I think with this abundance of downtime, with having my weekends and evenings free, it has opened the door for me to do things that I haven't thought of doing. Like right now, I am biking a lot and I absolutely love doing it. And at first it was scary to go out and bike miles, but I wanted to do it. I decided to do it and now I'm doing it and now I love it. So I propose the same thing to you guys. What is one thing that you wanted to do and either have been afraid to do or have thought you couldn't do? I encourage you, as Marnie encouraged us in the episode, to just go out there and do it. All right, Marnie will be back with us again next week, and that'll be the final episode. And of course, I will put all of her contact info in the show notes if you want to be able to get a hold of Marnie and follow her on her writing and encouraging journey. All right, my three asks for the week. 1, share the podcast with a friend. If you hear something today that you think would help another person, please feel free to share it with them. My 2nd ask is to download. 1, it helps you out, so you'll have the episode
already on your mobile device or your iWatch or whatever you listen, you already have it ready to go. So when the episode comes out, you don't have to worry about searching for it. And finally, ratings. Ratings helps me know what you're loving about the podcast and what I can work on. Again, guys, thanks so much for tuning in. I hope you guys are all doing well during this quarantine time, and I will see you all next week. Thanks so much. Bye.